Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. And welcome to Victorious Living. This is your host, Minister Janice. So much has been going on today. So much has been going on, but we trust God. Yeah, because we know He is the author and the finisher. Mm-hmm. He is the author of our faith, and He is the finisher of our faith. And we trust Him when we can't see it. We don't feel Him, but we know He's ever present. Yes, we just thank Him. We thank Him for you, and we thank Him for you. We know we have been discussing the enemy. This is what we have been talking about. And the scripture for tonight is, oh, what a mighty God, what a mighty God. He is the mighty God. And we just keep trusting Him and believing and holding on. Yes, we must hold on. I will lift my eyes to the hills from whence cometh my help, because my help comes from the Lord. Yes, who made heaven and earth. We will trust in the Lord. No matter what's going on, no matter what it look like, we got to trust in Him. Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just come thanking You for this day, thanking You for the opportunity that You've given us, that we can come together and learn more about You, God. We thank You, God. We thank You for all listening ears. We thank You, God, for hearts that are receptive. We thank You, God, for the word that will go forth, oh God. And we ask, Master, right now in the name of Jesus, that You would allow it to penetrate in our hearts and plague our mind, oh God, with what You have to say to Your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, we know we have been discussing the enemy, and we all have enemies, whether we like it or not. And I have to say that because so oftentimes most young folks believe everybody likes them. Everybody's their friend. Everyone is not going to like you. But we are supposed to have the love of Christ. Yes, this is true. The love of Christ is supposed to be embedded in the believer. I said the believer. But everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will not enter into the kingdom of God, no matter how we feel or how we think. Man makes his own choices. Yeah, because God has allowed this. God has given this one thing. He's given this one thing to man. Yeah, this is just one of the things that he's given us. He's allowed us to make choices. Yes, yes, yes. God allows us to do so through allowing man to exercise his will. So he allows us to exercise the will that he has given us. Mm-hmm. He don't put us in bondage. We're not enslaved. If we are enslaved to Christ, we are enslaved to Christ because of our own choosing. But he does not put us in bondage. The scripture says that whom the Son set, what? Free, is free indeed. Glory to God. So, yes, you have a will to do good, a will to show love and kindness. God has left this decision up to us. It's up to us that we could decide if we're going to do the right thing or we're going to do the wrong thing. It's up to us. Mm-hmm. So let's look at 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 16 to 28. I'm going to see if we can get through this. Yeah, verse 16 says, I'm pretty sure most of you know this story. Yeah, it says, now two women who were harlots came to the king and stood before him. Two women who were harlots. And we know what a harlot is, a woman of the night. Okay, let's be clear, a woman of the night. And most of the time we consider them to be prostitutes or whatever that they're soliciting. Yes, yes. Now, these two women, this was their profession. Mm-hmm. This was their profession. And women in those days were not ashamed of that job. They were not ashamed of that title. Even today, we find the brothels. We hear of this. And the women that we see are very beautiful and they're very meticulous with, this is their choice of professionalism. That's what they may consider it. But nevertheless, in this particular story, these two women, they lived in the same house. So that meant they slept in the same, under the same roof, not necessarily in the same beds, but under the same roof. So they were very close-knit, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And so here we see in this lesson that they had the need to be heard by the king. Verse 17 says, now there were two women, so I'm going to address one as the first harlot and the second harlot. So we see that one said that she, the first harlot, she needed to speak to the king. Their living arrangements, they both lived in the house together. So she said, one stated that she gave birth to a child, a son. This is the first harlot. While the other was in the house as well. So here we see we have two harlots living in the same house. Again, let me state that. And it's, to me, I had heard this story, but I never knew the detail of the type of women this was. Because when we hear the word harlot, I was trying to assess, would a harlot be a believer in Christ? That's what I was trying to assess that. Today, people wear many titles, and people who what we consider all go to church are not necessarily all believers. Some of them are just what? Churchgoers. So you got to keep your mind open to this particular story, and I'll try to go quickly with it. Verse 18 says that, so the harlot was not, her name was not given. She was just, they both were just considered harlots in this whole story. She said to the king, she gave birth to a child one day, and within 3 days later, the other harlot, harlot two, she gave birth to a son as well. So even in that day's time in court, in those days, women or anyone who had a complaint, they were allowed to go into the court system and to approach the judge on whatever issue that they may have dealt with. Now, in this particular story, you would never hear anything about an attorney speaking for them because they didn't have an attorney. They spoke directly to the judge themselves. And just so happened, this judge was King Solomon. And remember, King Solomon was the king that asked for wisdom. That was his main gift that he asked God to give him. Okay? He needed to be wise. And it was a reason why he wanted to be wise. So verse 19 says, the first harlot said, she told King Solomon that this woman's son died during the night because she laid on him. So when we see that, when I saw that, I said, wow, you know, today you see certain doctors appearing on TV telling you about crib debt and how not to let the baby, a certain way the baby's supposed to sleep and the baby's not supposed to sleep in the same bed with you. And you've heard that. And so to see this in a story in years that have gone past, for me, it was quite interesting. So she's saying that the child, her child had died. Now, how crazy does this sound? This can happen, and she's saying, I'm sure that it has happened, that her child died. Now, remember, there were two of them, and there were two children, okay? So verse 20 says, now this verse is really crazy. So hold on. Hold on to your hats. Just hold on to your hats for 1 minute. So harlot number one tells King Solomon that harlot number two got up during the night and took her son from her side while the maidservant slept and laid him in her bosom and laid her dead child in her bosom. Can you imagine that? Now, remember, these harlots are going before King Solomon and they're voicing their concern and their petition, and they want him to actually decide who's being truthful and who's not. You know, this is really sleeping with your enemy, having an enemy under the same roof with you. And many times we have people right in our homes that we're not even sure who they are. We even have folks right in the same bed. We're not really sure who they are. Mm-hmm. But notice this. In the verse, it does not state that the harlot number one or two were Christians. That nothing gives any insight on their belief in Christ. Nothing. But notice harlot number one expects the king to believe her and not harlot number two. Isn't that something? So keep in mind, King Solomon had just asked for the gift of wisdom, and this lesson shows how soon he was able to use the gift that God, this is where the gift came from now, that God had given him. Very soon, real quickly. Yeah, notice something in verse 19. Mm-hmm. We're not clear as they should have been. Look at verse 19. In verse 19, it's stating to us that one is really claiming that the other has done it, and the other is claiming that the other has done it. So we've seen this, and if you're a parent and you have children in your household, you know how they all come together and you're trying to figure out who broke the lamp or who did whatever disaster it is in the kitchen, and each child is pointing at the other. So whose decision? Who will make the choice to believe who? or will you believe any of them? Verse 21 says, when I rose, this is what the harlot is saying, when I rose in the morning to nurse my son, there he was dead. Harlot number one goes on to say that, but when I had examined him earlier, he was not my son whom I had born. So she's saying that this was not her son who had died. This was not hers. Notice harlot number one has all the details of the event. Who is the real mother here? Sleeping with the enemy. See, you need to know who you're around. You need to know folks. And a lot of times we don't take time to learn folks because everything is so fast and everybody's moving and, you know, it's just moving and shaking and just going on. We need to slow it down so we could really know who is around us. So who is being real, who is being truthful and who is not? Verse 22 says, harlot number two stated, no, the living child was her son and that the dead one belonged to her. So this is standing before King Solomon, and I'm pointing my finger at you, and you're pointing your finger at me. Can you imagine that? Think about it. This is truly a major decision. It would be a major decision for anyone to make because you would have to, first of all, my mother would always say she needs to look at your face. They could look at your face because your face can tell if you're telling the truth. If you're looking down at any point or any time of the discussion, maybe you're not being truthful. Verse 23 says, the king, who is King Solomon, he says, he repeats everything that they said. That's all he does. He repeats it. Mm-hmm. So this is the way the king lets everyone know he heard each harlot by repeating. It was just a repeat of what, this is what you said, this is what you said. Verse 24 said, the king said, bring me a sword. So they brought a sword before the king. Now in the courts, can you imagine that the king could be, what he could be thinking about, asking for a sword? As you're sitting there, and you're watching. This is really like a movie here. You know, you're looking at this and saying, "Wow, what is going on?" Both of them are saying that they're the mother, and this is the parent, and they have a dead child, and then they have one that's alive. How would you make that decision? How could you do it? Verse 25 said, "The king said, divide the living child, into two, and give half to each one." Yeah. Now, who would have thought of that? Who would have thought that a king, a man of distinction, a man of great wisdom, and a man who everyone had looked it up to, the king, to be so wise and so brilliant, would actually decide to cut a child in half? Yeah. So this was total disgraceful. This was just a disgraceful fashion of handling a situation. Verse 26 says, the woman whose son was the living child spoke. And she said, with compassion. So when it says that she spoke with compassion, she was probably near tears. Her heart was broken, and she said, oh, my Lord, give her the living child. And by no means, please don't kill him. See, the real mother, the real mom is going to let the child live. We'll get past this. Whatever's going on, I just want him to live. We'll figure out another way of how I can see him, how he can get to know who I am. Mm-hmm. Do you really know who you are sleeping with? Who you are around, sleeping with the enemy? How far are you willing to go to get what you really want? thinking of no one else but yourself. Harlot number two says, evilly, I said evil, with an evil voice, divide him, and neither you or I will have him. Now, see, with this type of response, you're sitting there, you don't have to wonder, you don't have to think far, because the actual mom would never move her lips to even acknowledge such, even have this type of thought of her child. So listen, how far are you willing to go? How far? As the enemy. As the one that just literally just despises someone else or just hates the fact that you have a baby and your baby died. But you have one and I don't have one. Instead of feeling happy for you that you have yours and asking for sympathy because your babe has passed, but instead of doing that, you decided to kill it. Yeah. Cut him in half and give up half of him and I'll take the other half. So we have seen things like this even today. Now, we may not have seen it to this extent. We may not have seen someone actually cut a child up. But we have seen folks that have been so rude and so hateful, and hate has come in and overtaken them till they're not even thinking clearly. They only see red. They only see anger. They only see jealousy because of the feelings that they have. And they're really the enemy. They're really the enemy. And so we see this. We see it today. Yeah, you may not divide a child up, but you may divide up a house. You may divide up a home. You may divide up families. Yeah, you may divide up a church. You may bring a lot of dissension in a group. Same difference. It's same thing. Yeah, because either way you look at it, the real mother to this child, her heart is broken. She's broken for one thing of the fact that the king would want to kill it, and that's her baby. And then she's heart is broken again because you who live in the same house with me want my child to be dead like yours. And then you have no compassion for me. Yeah. So is this heartbreaking? Yes, it is. Yeah. And at the same time, keep in mind now, the judge is King Solomon. He's watching all of this. He's watching all the emotions. He's watching who's crying, watching whose heart is broken. He's watching who's standing up there probably with a firm face saying, kill it. He's watching this. And with all these emotions that are taking place, God is watching also. And that's what we as believers in Christ and those who are not believers, sometimes we forget that. Oh, we forget that God does not slumber, nor does he sleep. He's ever present. He's always watching. Yeah. So here we see in verse 27, the king hears this, and he gives the harlot number one, the living child. Mm-hmm. And he states clearly, and by no means, by no reason will you kill this child. He points and he says, she is the real mother, the one who was compassionate, the one who showed love, the one who asked for mercy for the child. Thank God for leadership with wisdom and the leadership from the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah, huh? The Holy Spirit. Remember, The truth will prevail. The truth will win in the end. Yes. Watching wisdom. Matthew 10 and 20 says, "For it is not you that speaks, but the Spirit of your Father, glory to God, which speaks in you." Yeah. See, when you're representing Christ, when you're representing him, the truth is going to rise up. Mm-hmm. The truth is not dead. It may appear that you don't understand, or you may appear that you kind of uncertain or whatever, but the truth is there, and the truth is going to rise up. So often when we see wisdom at work, we forget who is really operating. Wisdom comes from God. Mm-hmm. Wisdom comes from above. King Solomon asked for wisdom, not for himself, but so that he could better lead and judge God's people. See, this is when you're not thinking about your own self, when you're thinking about others. Yeah. When you're concerned about others, that you can go to God and you can ask God to give you something where you could help other folks. If you have the ability to teach, if you have the ability to pray, you're constantly giving of yourself. You're giving. You're teaching in hopes that someone would understand. You're teaching in hope that someone would come to Christ. You're praying. You're interceding for the unsaved, that they will get to know Christ. So you have decided to give of yourself for others. Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, God, for your word, God, because we know that your word is true. We thank you, God, for all listening ears, God. We ask, Master, that this word will penetrate through the hearts and the mind of those who are listening, oh God. If someone who needs this word is not listening today, we ask that you who are listening would share the word with someone else. Be blessed in Jesus' name, and we look forward to having you back here with us on next Friday, and of course on Saturday with the children ministry, and on Sunday evenings with God Favorites Ministry. Be blessed in Jesus' name.